So a few things before we get started. We will have Sacrament of Communion later in the service, and we'll be kneeling today. It's appropriate the first Sunday of Lent. It's really a great time to just come and kneel before the Lord in silence, prayer, ask for a time of confession, ask for personal forgiveness. So that's what we'll be doing later in the service today. A few tidbits about some of our disciples here at Doolin Church. So I got an email from Rebecca de Guzman. Richard, who is her husband, his mother died this past week. So they are down in Florida, and her service is on Tuesday. She said Sophie got off well to Senegal, so she is heading there. I've recently been to see Audrey Fawcett. Now, Audrey Fawcett has some falls now, and it's affected the vertebra in her back, and so she is in independent living. She is looking forward to going back to her apartment upstairs, but that's what's going on with Audrey. Went to see Judy White yesterday at her home. Judy has a full-time care and also hospice care. So it's interesting that when I visit with Judy, I think she could care less that I'm there. I don't know if she knows who I am. But I'll say everybody at Doolin says hello, and she just perks up, her eyes open, and she is very aware of Doolin Church's presence in her life. And I'll name some persons here, and she gets it. She gets it. So, you know, we sent her, the youth group sent her a Valentine, and so just to remember her. And then the other is Joe Dysart. Joe Dysart is quite the character. He is 90 years old, recently his 90th birthday. He comes to church when he can, and he's been on his walker, and he goes to dialysis 3 days a week. And he rushed around a little bit too much the other week and had some heart issues. So the doctor said, you're going to do fine, but you've got to move from the walker to a wheelchair. So when he goes out, he'll be in a wheelchair. And we talked about, you know, he wants to come to church and he can get Uber to get him here. But he says, you know, I have a hard time getting home. Do you think somebody could take me home? And I said, Joe, whenever you come to church, I'll find you a way home if it's me, myself, and I. But when we see Joe here, if he ever, you know, comes and you see him, maybe you could go up to him, welcome him, and say, you know, I'll be glad to take you home. And he'll feel more comfortable with that. So we're here to take care of one another. Joe is a great disciple. We talked, and he was telling me that he was in the Army Vietnam War, and he said when he had time off, you know, all the guys would be doing this and that. He'd go shopping. And he's got these incredible items at his house. And so we want to remember Joe. So we're looking at Psalm 32, and I titled the sermon, In Need of Repair. And I wanted to start In Need of Repair that I remember growing up in Petersburg. We were in a middle-class neighborhood. We had ranch houses that everybody's tearing down around here. And in one of the houses up the street, we had a family. The last name was Jones. And he repaired television sets. And so he had this white van that said Jones TV Repair. It annoyed some of the neighbors because this van stayed there overnight, but the man had to work, for heaven's sakes. But it's interesting that back there in the 60s, he would make house calls because the TV sets that we had in the 60s, if you recall, they were these huge cabinets. There was no way we could take that cabinet in to be repaired. And so you would call up Mr. Jones, and he would get in his van, and he'd drive to your house, and he'd come in, take a look at it, and look at the tubes and all those kinds of things. And then, you know, he'd say anything else, and he could do anything. He'd say, well, how about my radio? My radio's kind of messed up. He could fix that. My toaster's messed up. He could just do all kinds of things. We don't see that type of service as much anymore, Jones TV Repair, that can come to our house. And why? Because so much of our lives has become disposable. Disposable. I was reading about what started it all was there was an article in Live magazine in 1955. And there was an article there that talked about how the United States and its prosperity of the 1950s was becoming a throwaway culture. And the title of the article was called Throwaway Living. And since then, think about the ways that we just throw things away. I can recall my grandfather, Granddaddy Betcher, was a textile designer, and he worked for Dan River Mills in Danville, Virginia, and he was their head designer. This would have been in the late 20s and 30s. Do you know what his number one product was that he designed at the time? It was handkerchiefs. Everybody had a set of handkerchiefs in their house. You had a set of handkerchiefs that you worked with. You had a handkerchief that you took to the store. You had a handkerchief that you took to weddings. You had a handkerchief that you took to church. Everybody had handkerchiefs. And then Kleenex came out with tissues. And we just don't have handkerchiefs much anymore. I keep a handkerchief and I'll go to the store and I have to say, where are the handkerchiefs? You just don't see them. They're in a little section all by themselves and that's it. But when we blow our nose, we don't have handkerchiefs as much anymore. We have tissues and then we throw them away. I think about, we used to have cloth diapers and now they're disposable. My sister was born 10 years after me. My mother was in love with disposable diapers. Shoes. Water is packaged no longer in glass but in plastic. I can remember as a little boy when the milkman would come to our house and would leave on the porch this little metal chest thing, and there would be milk in glass bottles. That's become plastic or cardboard. Appliances. You know, we don't need the Jones TV anymore. If something goes wrong with our TV, our microwave, our dishwasher, our dryer, our washer, whatever it may be, we don't get it fixed. What do? We throw it away and get another one. It's not worth repairing. Plus, we want the latest thing, don't we? Excessive packaging. Friendships, values, manners have become simply disposable in our lives. We even look at God as being disposable. We go through life doing great. I bet the prayers to God have increased the past week by people with portfolios. People concerned about their health. Prayers going up. We'll get through this storm, and those prayers to God are going to simply kind of go down like the stock market's gone. Just down, down, down. God has become disposable. We call on God when we need God, and then see you later, God. I'm going to throw you away until I need you again. But you know, God doesn't treat us like that. God never leaves us. We're the ones who leave God. And it is during the season of Lent that we realize that we are broken people and that we are in need of repair. And the good news is this: God makes house calls. God makes house calls. Wherever we are in our lives, God is there to meet us and greet us and hear our need. And when we confess our sin that we have done, when we have hurt somebody or we have hurt God, God is there to listen to us, and God is there to forgive us, and there is redemption. That, my friends, is the good news. So we're going to look at Psalm 32 a little bit for today. And this psalm is about a person who is crying out because they are in need of spiritual help. They're in need of physical help, and they are calling out to God. And in this particular psalm, you'll see them in several psalms, there's a word S-E-L-A-H, Selah. And Selah means pause, take a break, stop. And so I'm going to read this psalm for you, and where it says Selah, I'm going to take a break. And this will allow us time to kind of think about what this psalmist is saying to us, and then we'll move to the next. So this psalm is titled, The Joy of Forgiveness. It's a person who is calling out to God in need of redemption and salvation. And at the end, it's rejoice, rejoice. Oh God, you are my hiding place. I trust in you. So hear these words. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Sin, forgiveness, hiding place, trouble, trust, joy. There's always joy. And that's the good news, my friends, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we all say together, Amen.